Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
American woman, listen what I say. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Times this week when I thought we wouldn't ever get to these last 4 hours of the work week. Man, it was a tough week. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. There's an ebb and flow to life, right? So sometimes you are the windshield and sometimes you are the bug. And this week I felt like I was the bug. And so I'm very pleased that we have reached the final show of the work week and looking forward to spending these next 4 hours with you. No doubt they are going to fly by because it's a jam-packed Thursday night in April. And this is how it works this time of the year. So we had the opening round of the Masters with a leaderboard of who's who in the world of golf. Big names atop the Masters leaderboard, which isn't always the case. Really helped that in the afternoon, you had soft and mild conditions and a birdie fest for the likes of Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. You also have Tiger Woods lurking. You noticed, by the way, that whenever you talk about a Tiger Woods who's close or on the top third of the leaderboard, you have to use the verb lurking or you have to use the phrase in the hunt. It's a little bit like my least favorite cliche in sports. The pitcher helped his own cause with a home run. Anyway, I want to know who you're rooting for. As we go into the weekend at the Masters, who are you rooting for? Do you know that Brooks Koepka won 3 major titles in 13 months? Would you like to see him pick up a 4th, which would be his first green jacket? What about Phil Mickelson, who, if he could win at the Masters this weekend, would be his 4th green jacket, but he would officially become the oldest major winner ever. 48 years old and 9 months, which to me makes him a sentimental favorite. Plus, I love the old guys in sports. So I think the wisdom, the experience, the perspective they have, they can only develop over time, and it's unique. They're not the best athletes anymore. They're not the fastest. They're not the strongest. They're not the fittest. And I'm not sure Phil's ever been that, but he's crafty. And the fact that he's still playing and still winning at 48 years old is impressive. So if he could win another green jacket or even be in position for another green jacket, I think he would be a sentimental favorite. Again, he would be the oldest to ever claim a major victory if he triumphs this weekend. Now, it's interesting that our sports TBT, so our Throwback Thursday, actually was from the Masters. It was Jack Nicklaus in 1965 who won the 2nd of his 6 Masters titles, with, at the time, a tournament record. So you haven't seen our sports TBTs. They're awesome. Chris does a really good job with them. Though Chris is not here, he had emergency dental surgery. Something about a crouton. That's all we know. I swear I do not know the story. So Dave and I are completely in the dark. He just sent a text message. Maybe because he couldn't talk. It's death by crouton. Well, not death, but emergency crouton surgery. So we've got Brian with us on this edition of the show. And you can always check out our show Twitter for goodies like the polls and our TBTs, the link to our podcasts. It's our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and we try to do the same on our Facebook page as well. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So who are you rooting for in this 2019 edition of the Masters, the first of the majors this year? Now, Brian's in charge of our social media tonight. We do have access to social media, correct? Okay, good. So let's put up maybe a couple of questions or polls or however you want to do it. I'm going to leave that to you since you are the expert. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Before we get to hockey, before we get to the coaches fired in the NBA, as well as our playoff prep, here's what you need to know. There is a smoking hot team in Major League Baseball.
Kansas City, 4 runs on 5 hits, no runs, 1 hit. Mariners been held down by Lopez. Here's pitch swung on, driven deep to right by D. Gordon, headed for the line. It's got carry, it's gone. D. Gordon with a home run, his first of the year. Mariners on the board. 15 games now, Rick Riz, that the Mariners have hit a home run to open up the season. Just extraordinary. Sparkman into the wind in the 3-2 pitch. Swung on and driven deep to right center field. This baby's a laser shot, and it's gone! Daniel Vogelbach has given the Mariners a 7-6, 10th inning lead here in Kansas City.
The Seattle Mariners are now 13-2 as they get a 10th inning home run, which just continues the theme for the 2019 upstart Mariners. The great Dave Sims on their radio network as they win in Kansas City. Now, there's two things happening here. Seattle is surging. Kansas City is going the opposite direction, having dropped 10 straight games and already off to the poorest start in Major League Baseball. But for Seattle, there are a couple of numbers to know. 13-2. Do you know they're just the third team, are these Mariners, since 1987. So going back 30-something years, 1987, to open with at least 13 wins in the first 15 games. Now, believe it or not, it just happened last spring with the Boston Red Sox, who also started out 13-2, and you know what happened with them. They went on to win the World Series. Here's the other number that's extraordinary about these Mariners. They've set a brand new Major League Baseball mark by hitting at least one home run in all 15 games. No team until now had ever started a season with 15 home runs in 15 consecutive games. So D. Gordon in the sixth inning, and then Vogelbach with that home run in the 10th. So pretty amazing the way that they have started out this year. And I'm not saying it's going to result in a World Series. Sometimes in recent memory, the Mariners have started out well and have faded big time. It's why it's been forever and a day since they've made the playoffs. But it's still a lot of fun, especially if you consider that this was still supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Mariners. And not only is hitting contagious, but winning can be contagious. Seattle now has 36 home runs total, so it's not as though they've just hit one in each game. In fact, they've hit more than two in each game on average. They've got 36 homers, tied with the 2000 Cardinals for the most in a club's first 15 games. All of those are baseball nerd alerts. Kind of fun to watch these Mariners operate early on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about the start of the Masters, and then we'll get to your hockey coming up in 10 minutes. Bit of a surprise in Boston. The Masters of course, has all the tradition. Augusta National, the azaleas. Man, the course looks beautiful. We discovered that the traditional Masters music that is used on CBS and ESPN these first couple of days has words to it. It was written by Dave Loggins, the brother of Kenny Loggins. I had no idea. But it is a tradition unlike any other. And if you were looking for any additional reason to pay attention, well, you got it. You got it with the leaderboard. It is really impressive to see the who's who after the opening round. Now, Brooks Koepka is a name that you know. I think he still feels like he is not given the respect that he's due. So there's definitely a major chip on his shoulder, although maybe not as large as what it was at the end of last season, because notably, and he's talked about it, in fact, he talked about it Thursday, he dropped 22-23 pounds by changing his eating habits and also by doing a lot more running. So he's a noted fitness freak, and he changed his fitness routine and dropped from, well, I don't know exactly the numbers, but he dropped below 200 pounds. And he also lost some distance off the tee. And so there's been a lot of talk about this new look Brooks Koepka and whether or not he would be able to compete. Well, his scorecard should tell you his new game fits Augusta, if nothing else. Four straight birdies around Amen Corner for Koepka. A bogey-free round. And he's tied with Bryson DeChambeau, who also had four straight birdies. And in fact, had six in seven holes. So he did have a few bogeys mixed in. But these two guys set a torrid pace. And they were playing in some of the last groups that were out there on the course. Pretty amazing, especially if you think about DeChambeau, who has some scientific reason for why the roars at Augusta later in the day lead to lower scores. I don't know if there's any direct correlation, but he actually admits that his own expectations were not this high.
Obviously, my best round out here, 66. I was just looking to shoot something in the 60s this week because I haven't done that yet in my couple times playing here. But what a magical back nine.
Certainly was. The wind seemed to die down. The course was soft. It was mild. And even though the rains had made the course soft for the early rounds as well, for whatever reason, the wind was gusting more in the morning. So that was wreaking a little bit of havoc now and then with approach shots specifically around the green. But by the afternoon, while there would be a few gusts here or there, you could see these golfers were pin-seeking. So it was pretty amazing to watch Koepka and DeChambeau, but also Phil Mickelson. Mickelson is just one shot back. There goes the perfect show. And he has had his best opening round at the Masters since 2010, which, since we're on a roll with our nerd alerts to start the show, 2010 was when he won his third green jacket. So there's a little bit of correlation there.
I just played better. I just played better. I came in here not feeling like I'm at a disadvantage because I can move it out there again, and I'm hitting a lot of short irons in, so I can get a lot more aggressive.
So it's exciting to see Phil in position. I hope that he plays well. Remember, he won his 44th PGA start back in February, but since then has really struggled, and he's talked about it. He's always open about it. He wears his heart on his sleeve and in his facial expressions, to be sure. Again, a victory at the Masters would make Phil Mickelson the oldest ever to win a major championship at 48 years and 9 months. So who are you rooting for this week? Tiger Woods is also in the hunt. Can I say in the mix? Can I say tied for 11th, or is that really boring? Yes, he is four shots back with the likes of Ricky Fowler and Canadian Corey Connors, who a lot of people were looking at to start this tournament. Jason Day as well, who kind of scrapped and clawed. The man with the hair, Tommy Fleetwood, is another shot back. So it really is an impressive leaderboard. Dustin Johnson sits at -4. Adam Scott's at -3. I'm really excited to see Friday at the Masters, but of course the weekend. It's one of the coolest weekends on the entire golf calendar. So who are you rooting for? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to strap on the skates. Three more playoff series underway on Thursday night, and a bit of a surprise in Boston, at least for a lot of the Bruins fans who found me on social media. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Carlson, a drive, rebound, loose in front, they score! Alex Ovechkin on the rebound! 3-0 Washington! Back along the left wing, it is tied up, give it away. Lars Eller toward the empty net, he scores! From his own zone! First round.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was an efficient, though not dominant, victory by the defending champs as they launch into their postseason, hoping to hold on to the Stanley Cup. Capitals double up the Hurricanes 4-2. They did a better job than the President's Trophy winners at protecting what was an early 3-goal lead. In fact, similar to the Tampa Bay Lightning on Wednesday night, the Capitals scored 3 goals in the first period and then got outscored in the third period, but managed to hang on. And this was really a total team effort for the Washington Capitals. Not only do they have a pair of goals from Nicholas Backstrom, who now has 100 playoff points, but Alex Ovechkin with a goal that you hear there with John Walton on the Capitals radio network. John Carlson had 3 assists in the first period. Braden Holtby was solid in goal. And so they were 2-for-4 in the power play. They really got a lot of energy early on and were able to withstand the Carolina power play. I think the Hurricanes were 0-for on their power play. And so it was what you would need from the Capitals, maybe a little bit of a grinder victory, not necessarily, as I say, the total dominance. But even as the Canes surged, the Capitals were able to protect that home ice advantage. And last year, that's not how they started out the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love to hear from you as we're diving into a real busy night in sports, but also getting you set for the weekend that's coming up. Who are you rooting for at the Masters this weekend? We've got a special tweet out there that you can reply to, and it just gives you a taste. Gives me all kinds of jealousy, makes me green with envy to see the beautiful course there at Augusta National, the sunshine, the blue skies, so nice. This is the time of the year that it's fun to be in Georgia. But the Masters, I think, is one of those events that even if you are not a huge fan of the sport, well, then you don't have to invest a whole lot and still really enjoy this weekend. It is a premier event, a little bit like Daytona in NASCAR, the Super Bowl in football, though, of course, football doesn't have any problem attracting people. Even sudden death overtime in playoff hockey seems to bring out people who maybe are more casual fans. So this is a premier event. And right now you've got a lot of different ways that this could go. Of course, we're just one round in, but the possibilities with some of the names atop the leaderboard, it's awesome. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Surprise in Boston, maybe? The Toronto Maple Leafs opening up at the Boston Bruins. First meeting between the two. And I always really appreciate this perspective because a lot of things can change in a month, 2 months, 3 months. First meeting between the Maple Leafs and the Bruins since January 12th, which is exactly 3 months from Friday. Now, there is, of course, a ton of familiarity between these two franchises. The original six, there's plenty of animosity, lots of trash talking among the fans. And early on, it was the Bruins who established themselves with a power play goal. Sweet pass from Brad Marchand to Patrice Bergeron in a wide open net. The pass flipped the ice, and Bergeron had all the space in the world to get his shot. Really, didn't have a whole lot of resistance from Frederik Andersen. And so early on, that was the power play goal, and the Garden was rocking. But you could see the momentum start to change. And what really stands out about the Maple Leafs, if you watch them at any point this season, obviously they're young, they have a potent offense, a lot of different ways they can hurt you, but they also have a ton of speed. And they were using that speed to get to loose pucks, to create opportunities. And I think if you couple that with the fact that the Bruins seem to start flat. Now, I know that they had the early goal on the power play, but they really didn't match the energy or the speed of the Maple Leafs.
Draw scrum by Tavares. He gets the puck along the boards, trying to get it to the point. Muzzin shot! Hit the goalpost! Rebound! Scores! I don't know if it's Hyman who finally taps it in, or it's Marner from the right wing side after it hit the post, but the Leafs have tied the game! And here's Mitch Marner going from left to right. Right-handed shot. Gathers some speed and collects the puck and moves to the left wing side of the blue line. Cuts to the middle. Deeks shoots and scores! He took Rask down and his jockstrap is in the corner of the rink. Puck back of the Toronto goal. Fed up on the wing for the Leafs. Now to Nylander, who's got a breakaway and a goal! Scores! Holy mackerel! It's Nylander and it's 3-1.
So Toronto comes along with four goals in a row, but really in the middle of this game, just had the speed, had, as I say, a couple of big breakaways. Now, there were some pretty impressive saves for both goalies, including Tuukka Rask. But the way that Toronto went in there, fearless, established themselves, Mitch Marner taking his penalty shot so deep to the point where he was shooting from what felt like 2 or 3 inches in front of that goal line. So it was kind of a flip the script middle of this game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Mitch Marner at 21 years old, already into his second postseason with the Maple Leafs. Of course, his third season, he had, 94 points this year? So he's a force to be reckoned with. He tied the game with a rebound in the first period and then had his second goal on that penalty shot. And if you have not seen the William Nylander goal, now this was about 90 seconds to go in the second period. Nazem Kadri had this amazing pass. I don't even know how it got through what seemed like 4 or 5 Bruins, and it came from half a rink away. But it was a heat-seeking missile to set up Nylander. So this was an impressive performance by the Maple Leafs. Yes, it's one game. We're going to hear that over and over. But for Marner and the Maple Leafs, you couldn't have asked for a better start.
That does a lot. That's a great win for us. We played very well as a team, but we're going to need to keep going here throughout the series. The games are just going to get harder and harder, and as a team, we're just going to make sure we come ready to play every night.
You know, they're going to come out hard, and they pressured us, and you know, maybe we weren't ready for that kind of pressure, but you know, they were just better than we were. I mean, they played their game better than we played our game. You can't do that come playoffs and expect to win.
Brad Marchand saying maybe we weren't ready for that kind of pressure after Marner there, and I think the confidence cannot be understated after going into Boston and grabbing the first win. Always the goal when you are the road team and you don't have home ice, home court, home field, whatever, is to try to grab away the home ice advantage, in this case, the ice. And you do that by winning one of those first two games on the road. So now the Maple Leafs have stolen that home ice. They've stolen that advantage. Can they protect it? The third game was the last game on the schedule on Thursday night, and the Calgary Flames, who are the top seed in the West, pitched a shutout against the Colorado Avalanche. This game was still scoreless late in the second period, but then floodgates opened for the Flames. Matthew Tkachuk with a pair of goals, and they shut down Colorado. So we've had all eight series. Now they've played one game, and going into the weekend, a lot to be excited about. If you are the Blue Jackets, can you shock the Lightning even more on Friday and take a second straight game? Of course, if you're the Lightning, if you're the Penguins, if you're the Golden Knights, if you are the Jets, well, then you're thinking, man alive, we can't afford to fall into an 0-2 hole. And of course, the NBA playoffs start on Saturday and Sunday as well. So as I mentioned last night, it's about to get hot and heavy in the winter sports. I'm using my air quotations, though I know a good portion of the upper Midwest ended up with snow. So it feels more like winter these last couple of days. I still know that it's a rite of passage in the spring to get to this point in April and have all these games every night. So we're going to talk about the NBA a little bit coming up. We had three coaching fires on Thursday in the wake of the regular season coming to an end. And we've got the eight series straight ahead. Right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I love all your Masters answers. It's unique. It's a unique event, and a lot of guys who are in contention early on that we can root for. So who are you rooting for over the weekend at Augusta National? And in our Facebook page, same thing. All of you top fans, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Into the hands of De'Aaron Fox, races up the floor, cross-court feed. To Buddy Hield, stop and pop. Buddy Buckets puts the Kings on top. 119-116, 107 to go. Hield with his third three-pointer.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Sacramento Kings had some kind of a potent offense this year, and they did end up with 39 wins, which was more than what many people would have expected to start the year. However, they were only 9-16 after the All-Star break, and that may have been the number that got Dave Yeager fired after three seasons as the head coach. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our final show of the work week, and actually, I will not be with you either Sunday or Monday night of next week. I'm running a half marathon on Sunday, so I will be in pain on Sunday night. I know it. And then I do happen to have company in town. And so I'll be taking my first 2 days off of the year. And so I'm excited about that. Mostly excited about sleeping for 4 nights in a row. So then when I get back, wowzers, we'll be a few days into the NBA playoffs. We'll be a few more days into the Stanley Cup postseason. And of course, the Masters will be in the rearview mirror. And we'll have all that to talk about. But I want to get you set up for the weekend as much as possible. And there was a bunch of news in the NBA, even in these hours before the postseason tips off. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Who are you rooting for at the Masters this weekend? And then your reaction to what we saw in the NBA on Thursday. Again, 855-212-4CBS. So the Sacramento Kings make a coaching change, even as Vlade Divac ends up with a 4-year contract extension, which made him excited and maybe felt like because he had that job security, he was able to move forward now and kind of set up the front office and the coaching staff the way that he would like. Now, as I mentioned, the Kings were fantastic offensively this year. They pushed the rock. It was 114 points per game on average, which is top 10 in the league. De'Aaron Fox really developed into a competent point guard, one of the brightest young point guards in the league. Buddy Hield can shoot the lights out, though at times he gave Dave Yeager fits. But I mean, there's a lot to like about these Kings this season. And I know late in the year, they struggled to get those big wins they needed. They would come up short repeatedly, a few points here, a few points there. But overall, they were on the rise. But apparently that wasn't exactly what Vlade Divac was looking for. And so instead, he's trying to find a coach who will take this team to the next level.
I think, you know, it's a lot of room to improve. Our new coach, which I'm looking for, has to bring, you know, first of all, the style that we had last year, that's the King style. We got to play that way, you know, up-tempo and moving the ball, and communications, defined roles, and obviously believing in the team.
What he said in his statement that he released before these comments publicly is that it really was the way they finished. He was pleased with the progress they had made. And as you hear him talk about the offense, he likes the fact that they've got a pattern now. They've got a style. But to finish out the year after the All-Star break with only 9 wins and really fall back in terms of the playoff race, that was maybe the death knell for Dave Yeager, who spent 3 seasons there before that was in Memphis. And I would think would be able to find another coaching job. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The credit, as we started the segment, the Kings Radio Network. The other coaching changes, well, one of them at least wasn't a huge surprise. So this one kind of caught me off guard with Dave Yeager in Sacramento. I wasn't surprised that the Cavaliers and Larry Drew are parting ways. Now, he was more of a bridge coach. I don't know that at 61 years old, maybe he wanted to stick around and see them through this rebuilding process. But I'm not surprised that they're looking for now a fresh start in Cleveland. Credit Coach Drew, who was part of Ty Lue's staff for, I think, 3 seasons before Lou got fired. Remember, Coach Lou got fired 6 games into this year? So ridiculous. Why not just do it in the offseason? But instead, Coach Lou started the year. They started out 0-6. He took the axe. And then Drew was promoted to kind of help with transition, to keep them stable, and to make sure that they had a voice that they would still listen to in that locker room. I mean, obviously, so much had changed. And there was a philosophy, for sure, to use young players as opposed to guys like Kyle Korver and Kevin Love, who only played a handful of games this year, maybe a quarter of the season because he was hurt. So Colby Altman, the general manager in Cleveland, asked Larry Drew if he wanted to be part of the coaching search, and he declined. So it's not that they don't respect him. They just want someone new and fresh, and they're not going to look at all their different options. They only had 19 wins in Cleveland this year, but they also had a ton of injuries. You may or may not know this, but they started 32 different lineups, which was the most of any team in the NBA. So it's a transitional year, to be sure. And after LeBron James left, that surprises no one. But good for Coach Drew that he didn't shy away from the challenge and that he met it head on. I know the 19 wins is it's the kind of number that you hold your nose. Nah, 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 nah. It's the kind of season where you get a facepalm. But not every guy could do it. Not every guy would want to do it, knowing that more than likely his days as the head coach were limited. The Cavs will search for their 5th head coach since 2013. The David Blatt years, then the Ty Lue era. Larry Drew, not even a full season, but well-respected. 5th coach since 2013. But more importantly than that, they've got to get some big-name free agents in there if they want to compete right now. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they're just going to go back to the drawing board. Starting fresh, lots of young talent. They can grow together with a new head coach. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the one that surprises me is the Memphis Grizzlies. And this definitely didn't come from the general manager. In fact, they've had an overhaul in their front office. I spoke with my Grizzlies contact. Talked to him on, I guess, after I heard the news, so on Thursday evening, and asked him if he was surprised, and he said very, but this really wasn't about J.B. Bickerstaff as much as it was about the fact that there will be a new general manager, because Chris Wallace, the GM, is getting reassigned in that front office if he chooses to stay. And so with all of the changes in the front office, they kind of trickle down to the head coach. And so new GM generally means new coach. If not right away, then pretty quick. And it was interesting that Chris Wallace was just raving about the job that Bickerstaff had done. And then Wallace ends up losing his position and Bickerstaff ends up getting fired. The Grizzlies did look better later in the season in terms of their offense. They struggled to hold leads. They finished up 33-49 this season. And Bickerstaff was, he was part of the revolving door. So he took over after Fizdale. I don't know why Tisdale came to mind after David Fizdale was let go. And Wallace was a holdover as well. Wallace was the guy that brought in Marc Gasol. Wallace was the guy that got Mike Conley. I mean, there were a lot of good things. He kind of ushered in what was an era for Memphis that for a while was, I think, really exciting. They made 7 playoff appearances in 9 years. But the last couple of years, it's been more transition, more of a turnstile than anything. So will Conley want to stay? Or will he ask to be traded? Remember, they flirted with trading him around the deadline. Obviously, traded Gasol. The roster doesn't look anything like what it did, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And right now, it doesn't appear to be a roster that can compete in the Western Conference. So they have some soul searching and some big decisions to make. But one of the things that came to mind with me was, why would any free agent want to go there right now? Similar to Cleveland, why would a free agent want to go to either one of those franchises? And it has nothing to do with the cities. This is not an indictment on the location, the geography. It's an indictment on the fact that you don't know who's going to be in charge or what that power structure is going to look like. And so we've already had 3 NBA coaching fires after the season. And we have the second opening in a year in Cleveland. Memphis is open again for the second time in 2 years. Or open. When David Fizdale was fired, they promoted J.B. Bickerstaff. That was in the middle of a season. But you catch my drift. And then in Sacramento. Of those openings, I think Sacramento is really attractive, except you have to deal with Vlade Divac, who is clearly has the support of the ownership and has kind of been given carte blanche to do whatever he sees fit. This 4-year contract extension for him has given him the power. So you have to be his guy. You have to be willing to do it his way. He definitely is not a share the power type of a guy. But since he's got that vote of confidence, you have to be willing to abide by his way or the highway. So I hope that Dave Yeager, J.B. Bickerstaff find other positions. I don't know about Larry Drew. We'll see whether or not he wants to coach again. He's someone who would fit in on a lot of different coaching staffs. So that's the latest in the NBA in terms of coaching changes, coaching openings. Of course, the playoffs start this weekend. Excited about the 8 series. Though, to be honest, on Saturday night, I will not see the last 2 games more than likely. I'll be dead to the world if I have my way, having to get up early to run a half marathon on Sunday. We're 1 hour down. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence right here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.